As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Yes, indeed. Brought to us by Great Garage Floors. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on this holiday weekend. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I hope you are, too, because
I am.
We probably will have a busy hour for you to answer all of these questions. And as you already know and guessed, they have come in already this morning.
That's good. For some time.
Well, I guess 'tis the season, right? Here we are with what is this, the 19th of April. What are your plans now for your yard or slash garden?
Well, it's too early to clean up the sticks and stuff because I'm leaving those up for the bees. However, you can just break them off and pile them under bushes and lilacs and things. So when the little bees hatch out of them, they can hatch and go on their way. But you don't want to throw them in compost pile for a little while. Otherwise, I'm just enjoying the little spring tulips that are coming up and listening to the bird song and being as lazy as I can out in the garden.
And this is a perfect time for that.
It is.
For being lazy just right now, because then I'll know you'll be busy.
I will be busy.
I tell you what, so I don't get too far behind, let's help out some listeners right now. Your lawn and garden question by phone or by text. If you want to call in and chat with Teresa, great. Otherwise, just send your text to 651-461-9226. All right, here is one. How many red seed potatoes can we plant in a large 24-inch tree container, 20 gallon, what's the best mix of soil types to use?
Use potting soil. You may want to put a slow release fertilizer in there when you start it. And then I would probably think maybe, it depends on your potatoes and how many eyes they have and how many sprouts you have coming up and how you've chitted them and everything else. I think about maybe 4 or 5 plants. You don't want to crowd the roots. And then make sure that when you put your potatoes in, you're planting them, and as they come up, you cover them, and because then you'll get more tubers or more potatoes. But you know how to plant your potatoes. If you don't, go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu. But I think aim about maybe four plants in there. That should give them enough room and make sure that you're fertilizing them well.
Very good. This listener, Teresa, is thinking of replacing my yellow daylilies with a mix of different color lilies. The garden site gets afternoon and some evening sun. Will that be enough, do you think?
If your daylilies have been blooming, they should be fine. I'm not sure. Denny, could you repeat the question? Are they replacing them with colorful daylilies?
They are replacing with my yellow daisies with a mix of different color lilies. Yellow daylilies.
Okay, so if you're still going with daylilies, they'll do fine there. If you're going for more of the other lilies, the taller ones, give it a try. I wouldn't go whole hog first. I'd let and see how they come up with the sun. Daylilies can handle more sun than some of the other lilies can. Martagon lilies can handle a whole lot of sun. And I remember that the Lily Society show is coming up soon, so research that if you need to get some tubers.
Okay. Here's a different question, a different lawn and garden question, something for you to think about. A listener says, are farms that grow cut flowers for nurseries considered agricultural or hobby farms? Are there benefits being classified agricultural?
Whoa, that's way out of my wheelhouse there.
I know that.
I would go over to the ag department and talk to people there. You could call extension and then go to the agricultural department. That's where I would go for that. I'm not a financial person, and I don't want to mess you up at all. So
well, that's a good direction to put them in, for sure.
But good luck whichever way you go. You may even want to visit some of those farms first and see how they're doing it and how they're classified. Talk to the people that are actually doing it. Cut flowers are an awful lot of work, and you have to be prepared for that. And so I would actually try to visit some of those farmers and talk to those people. They're boots on the ground. They know what they're doing, and they can give you some tricks or tell you, for God's sake, don't do this because you're working 28 hours a day or something. You know, you just so I would talk to them first, and then do go to the Department of Agriculture.
Very good. Texter says this, I have some leftover weed and feed. Is it a good time to use it now?
I think it's still a little early for the weed and feed. If you're putting, there's not a lot of weeds up yet. And feeding, you would be actually cultivating you'd actually be feeding some of the weeds that are coming up. Read the instructions on the package. It'll tell you it has to be this warm outside and this moist on the leaves and everything else. That's what I would do. I would read the package. And to think about, what am I doing? Am I putting it in my lawn for this reason? Am I seeing a lot of dandelions already? Have they already come up? Because it's usually a granular weed and feed, I believe most of them are. So they have to adhere to leaves. And if the weeds aren't there yet, you're not going to get any help. You'll just be feeding the roots of the weeds so they come back stronger. How nice of you.
All right. Listener says this, asks this, is it okay to plant my herbs outside now and also potted plants and ferns, etc.?
It depends where you are in the state and how the temperatures are going to be for you. Things like basil, I'd be maybe a little hesitant about. Some of the other things like the parsley and things like that, they're a little tougher. Just think of the night temperatures. Our night temperatures, I think, were going down to like 36 or 37 last week. So that's still pretty cold for those plants. If you want to take them out during the day and get them used to being out in the sunshine, put them in the shade for a little while, then if it's going to be cold at night, either cover them with maybe a bottle filled with hot water, a container filled with hot water out there just to keep them warm, or bring them in at night. You can do that. I'd probably just be on the safe side and wait just a few more, maybe a week or two, and see what the weather's doing.
All right. This listener might be well served by heading to the university website. He or she says, I've been trying to figure out something to plant under my apple trees, so very shady, that rabbits will leave alone. They've eaten my hostas to the ground.
Of course they would. Course they would. First of all, excuse me, you want something that's going to be rabbit resistant. So things like herbs and things will work really well. I would also go over to the extension website, and there's a... I want to say tab. It's not a tab, but there's an option where you can go to the elements, plant design elements, I believe it's called. Plant elements of design. I finally got it right. And that will give you some great information. But then again, do research. There's a lot of native plants that the bunnies won't eat, like geraniums. That's the native geranium. I don't think they usually touch things like Virginia or something like that that's not a native. But those are plants. And then think about in the fall to plant some very early spring blooming bulbs like daffodils and things that the rabbits won't eat. So when you go to look for the bulbs, look for the little bulbs that have a circle with a deer in it, but the deer is crossed out. Those are normally animal resistant, and plant a lot of spring bulbs under that tree to get the pollinators to start coming to that tree, because you're going to need them there later. And then think about some plants that might flower, some daylilies or something like that, that might flower later in the season that the bunnies won't be eating. And that will keep the pollinators coming back, knowing that your apple tree is a source of nutrition for them all season long.
Okay. All right. Teresa, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. You can phone it in. We'd love to hear your voice. Or you can just send a text if that's preferred. 651-461-9226. We have moved up to a couple of degrees all morning. It's been around 35. Right now, 37 is our new Twin City temperature reading from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this morning. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you here on 830 WCCO. We have callers. We have texters. If you have any particular lawn and garden question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. Either, as I said, by phone or by text. One number for either, 651-461-9226. Teresa, let's grab a phone call this morning. Jim checking in from St. Francis this morning. Thank you, Jim. What's your question for Teresa?
Thanks for taking my call. Is it too late for me to dig up and replant both daylilies and iris tubers?
The daylilies, you could do those anytime. The irises, I would wait till they're finished blooming and maybe move them in August. If you have to dig them up right now, just make sure that you plant them quickly, especially the irises. Plant them in their new spot if you're moving or you're having construction or anything like that. Otherwise, I would wait for the iris to bloom, and then once they've died down a little bit with the blooms have gone past, think about the end of July into August to do your irises. Daylilies anytime, except when they're actually blooming.
Very good. Thank you for the call. Texter says this, when can Western Minnesota folks clean the leaves and corn husks out of their perennials?
You could take the leaves and corn husks off whenever you want to. Just dig carefully so you're not damaging the crowns of your plants. If you've got those up there for some reason to protect some very tender plants, pull the leaves back carefully and just keep an eye on the temperatures. If you're going to get a frost or you're going to get a hailstorm or an ice storm, put those leaves back on to protect the crowns of those plants. Otherwise, your plants should be just fine.
Another listener asks this. I'd like to know, one, will hostas grow in direct sunlight on the south and west side of the house? There is some shade in the morning, however, direct sunlight in the afternoon and evening. What do you think of that?
Will they grow? Maybe. Do they want to grow there? No. It's way too hot and sunny. I would find some other plants that are easy to care for and put them out there. Even if you just go with some simple geraniums like the native geraniums or something like that, complement them with some short native grasses like little blue stem or something, prairie drop seed. And just if you want a very simple garden, that would be it. And then put the hostas where they will be happier. The hostas really, there are some sunnier hostas. But Southwest that's a real tough place for hostas. And they just are not, they're not a full sun plant. They really just want a little shade. The better shade would have been for shade in the afternoon or evening or afternoon. The morning shade is actually what they would prefer.
Okay. Here's one we get from time to time. Do you recommend landscaping fabric and with what type of mulch, or maybe just mulch? If just mulch, what type of mulch?
Okay, so the type of mulch, it depends on your garden. Master gardeners always start with depends. If you are planting a perennial garden, I would go with an organic mulch, meaning something that eventually breaks down. Wood chips, pine straw, something like that. And that's because as your plants grow, they're going to get closer and closer together. So eventually you may not need mulch out there. You'll have like a green mulch, a living mulch. Landscape fabric is best used if you're putting down a rock mulch because it prevents the rocks from working their way into the soil. However, when you do that, if you have the landscape fabric in the rocks, eventually dust gets in there, plants start growing, weeds. You kill them, but the roots decompose, and pretty soon you have landscape fabric with a bunch of dust or soil and rocks, and then you get a whole bunch of weeds. So you have to pull the whole thing out wash your rocks, put down the landscape fabric again, and then put your rocks back on, which seems to me like a lot of work.
Oh, boy.
That's the way you have to do it. I know everybody says rocks are easy. Look at all the buildings that have them. They also have work crews that take care of the weeding and everything else. If you've got a work crew, hey, you do what you want to do. But the landscape fabric is basically just as a weed barrier for a little while, but then to keep the rocks from dipping down into the soil. So if you have just perennials, just around a tree, some kind of a mulch that breaks down, it can be wood chips or pine straw or whatever else you can find, that's the way I would go. Even using compost as a mulch to keep those seeds at bay will help.
Very good.
I hope that answers the question.
Very good. Yes, it does. Will it do any good, a texter says, to put 10-10-10 on my lilacs that have wood chips all around them?
It will, because as the rain comes down or you water, that 10-10-10 will work its way through the wood chips and into the soil, then eventually become available for the soil. Then the soil can feed the plant. So, yes, it will.
Okay. This listener wants to know, can Joe Pye plants be divided and transplanted right now?
I believe you could. Because they're not going to bloom till middle summer, so that should be fine. Get them up, divide them out. And again, you could go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. They do have in the perennial section how to divide plants and the best times to divide the plant. If you just want to think of it, you want to think of the longest time away from when the plant will bloom is when you want to divide it. So spring blooming plants you divide in the fall. Late summer plants you divide in the spring, if that helps.
Okay. When can I plant my new strawberries, listener says? I live 1 hour north of the Twin Cities.
You could plant them any time. Do put up the fencing for the bunnies. Do put a floating row cover over them as soon as you can. That will, till they settle in, that will just prevent the birds from pulling them out and things like that. And then just watch the nighttime temperatures. Once they're established, if we're getting temperatures down to like 32 or 33, I just put a simple little blanket or sheet over them and then pull that off. As long as your ground is warm enough, you should be fine. You can go to the egg department to get an indication of what your soil temp is. If you don't have a soil thermometer, you just put in your zip code and it gives you an idea of what the soil temp is in your area.
Okay. Before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call this morning. Teresa Kelly calling in from Andover, I believe, this morning. Kelly, thank you. Good morning. What is your question, please?
Hi, good morning. A lilac question. We have some very old, overgrown lilacs at my parents' home in St. Cloud. When and how aggressively can we try and get some shape and form to them?
Okay, so you would want to prune them just after they bloom. You can cut them back pretty hard. You could also do a renewal pruning where you take a third out over a course of 3 years, and that will bring the height down so you can see the flowers again. Kelly, I would suggest going to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look at renewal pruning, and that will give you a good idea. If you prune them now, you're just cutting off the flowers. If that's not important to you, then you can prune them now.
All right, very good. Teresa, let's take a break and see what the forecast is for not only this holiday weekend, but this coming week as well. So stand by, if you will, and we'll take this break and be right back with more Smart Garden Show this morning, presented by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions today, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Teresa, best time and method to divide tulips, a texter wants to know.
Just as they're dying down and the leaves are starting to die down after they've flowered, you can still see the leaves, and then just carefully dig up and go a little deeper than you might think you need to go, and then pull them up and see if they need to be divided.
Okay, last year, I'm checking out this other text. The texter had red beetles all over our orange tiger lilies.
Yep.
Should we burn the dead stalks in case of eggs, or are the eggs in the ground?
The eggs are in the ground. The eggs are in the stems. That's the red lily beetle. The Wisconsin Extension site had some information on it last year. They're going to be a real tough one for lily people. So I would just do that, clean them up. I don't remember all the protocols, but they're a real tough one because they have so many generations. They, like, keep laying eggs all summer long, and the eggs survive over winter. So, yeah.
Very good. What's happening at the Arboretum? I want to ask. I always like to ask that.
Oh, there's so much exciting stuff going on at the Arboretum. First of all, be careful going out there. I think they've started to move the entrance, so there's all kinds of construction. So construction, oh joy, Minnesota. But there's lots of site stuff going on out there. Visit the site to get information about tickets and whatever. But right now, like, the reticulated irises are blooming in the twin leaf and magnolia, so you can head out on 3 Mile Drive and see them. Forsythia and passflowers, some marsh marigolds, bloodroot. Skunk cabbage is out there, so there's all kinds of really exciting things going on. Arbor Day is 4/26, so they'll be having some events at the Arbor Day. And for those people that have issues and like to run because running is wrong, and I don't know why they do it, but they do it, there's the Bud Break coming up, and that's a 5 or 1K run. I don't understand runners. This body doesn't run. And then the member discount days, double discount days, goes until the 25th. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on at the Arboretum. Things are popping. You can see what the trees look like as they're coming out of dormancy. You can start to see some of the flowers. It's just amazing to see what's going on. So go to the Arb. Dog Park or the Dog Commons is open too, I believe. But again, check the website, and there's all kinds of fun stuff going on out there. And the Master Gardeners are off actually having their conference out there in June, so that'll be an interesting day for Master Gardeners and other visitors out there. So there's a lot going on at the Arb.
Yeah, great place. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages. Here's another one. My mother planted a peony bush some 50 years ago. It still blooms every year. Is there something that I should do to it, or should I just leave it alone?
You know, as long as it's not getting less sun, like a tree hasn't grown and you're worried about the sunshine, if it's happy, you're doing everything right. Keep it growing. The best thing is in the fall, just make sure you cut off everything down to the ground once that foliage dies down, and it should be just fine. But peonies and lilacs are some of those really tough plants that can really handle a lot, and they're the heritage plants that we can give to our children and things like that. So just enjoy it. And if it's blooming, you're doing everything right.
All right, good. This listener would like to start a vegetable garden on part of my yard, they say. If I use raised beds, do I need to remove the turf?
You know, you don't have to remove the turf. What you may want to do is just cut the grass really short and maybe lay some newspaper down, get the grass wet, lay some newspaper down, and then pile your garden fill, whatever you're going to fill the soil, the raised garden soil on top of that. That should be just fine. If you do have problems with voles or moles, you might want to put down hardware cloth on the bottom. If you're putting it over an area that's like filled with thistles and buckthorn and everything else, you might want to remove the turf and then put down cardboard and then pile on top. I believe the Extension site does have some information about starting vegetable gardens. So make sure you site it right. Site it so that it's going to get full sun and that you're able to see it, because you don't want to put it way back at the end of your garden where you forget about it, because you'll be so excited in June and May, and you'll plant it. And then in August, you'll suddenly realize you have a jungle in the back there and you haven't been taking care of it because out of sight, out of mind. So put it where you can reach it, and you can get the compost to it and take care of it every day and harvest from it frequently. And you should be just fine and happy, happy gardening.
Very good. This listener is asking, is there a stargazer lily that can be planted outside and can tolerate our cooler climate, or are they just an indoor plant?
I believe there are stargazers that are very hardy here in Minnesota. So I've seen them. They smell delicious. And yes, go ahead, and there are some. Any ones that you find at the garden centers, they should say the zone 4 or 3 or 5 that you're working with and should be hardy there. If not, go to the garden center and ask them, is the stargazer lily going to be hardy for my garden? They'll know, especially if you're up north or if you're in Minnesota, if you're in the cities or out west, they'll figure it out for you.
Yeah, you brought up the zone issue. What as far as the Minneapolis-St. Paul, what are we considered? Have we moved to zone five?
We're a five.
We are.
Yeah, we're a five. But, you know, don't run out and buy those Japanese maples right away. Just wait a year or two, you know, or make sure you protect them. I've been lusting after Japanese maples for years. But, we're zone five here in the city. A lot of you may even be outside of the city and have zone five microclimates in your yard. So get to know your yard. But, yep, the zones are changing, and our plants are trying to change with them, as are we.
Tell me about this Japanese maple now. What's that about?
Oh, the Japanese maples are usually smaller. They have a finer leaf. Lots of them are sort of a weeping or a cascading kind of effect, and they get beautiful fall colors. I think there's some that have some color in the summertime. It's always just a gardener wanting something we can't have. It's the garden envy, the zone envy issue. And I know a lot of people here in the Twin Cities have been growing Japanese maples in their yards for decades because they have such carefully managed microclimates in their yard. So I know they're here. I grew one a few years, but then neglected to water it. And funny, plants need water, and it died. That was on me totally. But yeah, they're here. It's just lots of us are just sort of lusting for, and they are breeding them to be a little hardier. But we're just waiting there for them.
Waiting for that. All right.
Yep.
Listener Teresa wants to know, when can I expect to see signs of growth on my shrub roses, specifically All the Rage and a Parkland rose? They have branches bitten off by rabbits, but the bark is still intact.
Yep. So they'll have to put on new growth. So you'll start to see the new growth. You should start to see them sending up new stems and everything else. And what I would do today is I would go out there and take a picture of that. And then I would put on your phone calendar October 1st. Make sure that you fence the roses so that they go into winter fence so they can come out of summer or they can come out of the winter not chewed down to the ground. Because you can prune them as you want them. I don't always trust the bunny's aesthetic when they're pruning the plants for us.
Get a kick out of our listeners who know the drill after all these years of doing this show. Here, Rick says, your creeping Charlie question of the
day.
when is the best time of year to treat for creeping Charlie? And if I've learned anything from you guys, I think it's more toward fall, isn't it?
It is toward fall. It's a little more susceptible to some of the herbicides when it's blooming, but more susceptible in the fall. Plants in the fall realize that they are reacting to the cooler weather, the ground cooling, and also the sunlight going down, becoming less. So they then start to pull in as much photosynthesis as they possibly can to plump up those roots. So if you're applying an herbicide to their leaves, they're pulling that herbicide into their system, so you have a better impact on them. Weeding at any time, pulling them up by just pulling them and getting them out by hand is as wonderful anytime you want to do it.
All right.
And thanks, Rick, for the creeping Charlie question. Yes. I was missing that, so thank you.
We need one a week for that.
We do.
Good morning. Texas says, I've had trouble finding vinca potted plants. Wanted to know if there is a reason why or if you know where I can find them. They're long-lasting and low-maintenance. Love the show. Well, thank you for that.
It could just be that it's a little too early. I haven't heard anything on the Master Gardener telegraph. But you could also, if you go to one of the larger garden centers, a garden center that you go to all the time, somebody in your neighborhood that you trust, that you built up a relationship with, ask them, when are the vinca vines coming in? And they'll be able to tell you. Could just be that they're a little behind in the season. Some of our southern partners down in the south have had a lot of storms, and so they may be a little backed up on what's going on in the plant delivery department. So that could be one of the issues that you're running into, just the storms down south and the growers and what they're doing. I haven't heard of any problems with Vinca yet, though.
Okay.
But hang now on. I'll be listening for it.
Well, I know you will. Your ear to the ground, for sure. All right, Teresa, hang on. We'll take a quick break and be right back. More of our Smart Garden Show presented by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. For just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those lawn and garden questions. Another reminder, coming up next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us as usual. We'll be talking home improvement, and you'll be able to answer, or rather ask, any particular home improvement question for Andy coming up next hour. In the meantime, Teresa, we've got a bunch of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help before we run out of time. Here's one. My prayer plant is backward. The leaves open in the dark and stand up as praying hands in the light. What's going on?
I am so sorry. I have no idea. That it must be a different variety. That makes no sense at all. They should be open when it's sunny. That one is baffling me. I didn't mean to laugh at you. I was laughing with you. I would, if you could figure out the Latin name of it, if it came with a tag with a Latin name, I would then do some research on that Latin name.
Okay.
But that one's news for me.
That's a stumper. Well, let's see if the listener does kind of give us an update on that.
Yeah.
Another texter says, is it okay to start preparing for a wildflower garden using Roundup to kill out grass and weeds and then black plastic to kill the remaining weeds? Let's see. That was the question. That's it.
Yeah. What I might suggest instead is use clear plastic. That'll kill the weeds faster and better, actually. And then do read the instructions on the container that you're using the herbicide. Most of those you can plant grass. You know, you can put down grass seed a certain date, number of days afterwards. Some of them are an extended release, however, and they stay in the soil for like 3 to 6 months. They stay there, and that would impact putting down seeds. So read the label, and it will tell you when can I seed, when can I plant. Normally, you can plant for most of them. If it's the standard one, you can plant plants like a week later, and then like maybe 2 weeks later, you can do seed. I'm just guessing on that, but read the label, and that will tell you what to do. Clear plastic actually will solarize your soil a little faster.
Okay. Speaking of plastic, last summer, texter says, during a construction project in our house, our southeast corner low-level evergreen shrub was covered over by black plastic sheeting for several weeks. Now, most of the branches' ends are brown, with a few of them remaining green. Does this need to be replaced, do you think, or might it regenerate?
It depends on what plant it is. If it's something like an arborvitae or a juniper or a yew, it might come back. If it's more of a pine, it probably is going to look really bad and you want to replace it. So figure out which one it is and then see if you can, after you clip back, start at the dead parts and clip back till you find some green in the stem. If it's a pine, that stem is probably dead all the way to the trunk. See if you can handle what it looks like when you clean it up. Maybe give it a season. If you just can't take it, then get a new one, a new evergreen there. I'd try to get it planted by the 1st of September.
Okay.
Around the end of the summer. Don't plant in like July. That's just too hot to be planting plants.
And this listener wants to know, could we transplant lilac suckers? Now they are starting to leaf already.
You know, I'd probably wait till they have leafed out, and then I would, instead of just transplanting them, I would cut them from the mother plant, see if they're still leafed out, and then if they are, go ahead and move them. You have until like the whole month of May maybe to work through that to see how it is. If you know that they're really hardy suckers, you can cut them from the mother plant and transplant them then anytime. If they've leafed out years before, like last year they leafed out just fine, go ahead and cut them from the mother plant and go ahead and transplant them.
Less than 2 minutes to go in the show, Teresa. Texture wants to know, when should I apply lawn spring fertilizer plus halts?
I'm not sure what the halts is. It might be
It's a weed and feed.
A weed and feed. Read the instructions on the package. It'll tell you when to apply it, what the temperatures have to be, how much active grass you should be growing, or how much activity you should be seeing. And if I can just mention, our Hennepin County Master Plant Sale is Master Gardener Plant Sale is next month on May 17th in Hopkins. Ramsey has their plant sale there that day too. Not there. Well, not with us. They're in Ramsey.
No, when is that again? The 16th, did you say?
May 17th. Saturday the 17th in Hopkins, yep. I just had to get that out there because, yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. And you might be on again here within the month's time to remind us again about
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by all means. That sounds like fun. Okay, you know, we're almost out of time. Let me do this real fast. Ask it and you can answer it quickly. What should I do about sawfly larvae?
As soon as you see them, knock them off to the ground. They can't come back up again. They don't know how to do that. If they're a little bigger, just knock them off. And if you can, just scoop them up then and throw them in the trash so they don't pupate.
And quickly, get to the Arboretum, certainly. But also check out the university's website, which is?
extension.umn.edu, and have a wonderful holiday.
Yes, and you as well. Thanks, Teresa. Always
Thanks,
fun.
Thanks, Denny. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Again, Andy Lindis will be joining us coming up next hour right after the news break. Get those home improvement questions ready for Andy here on News Talk 830 WCSCO on this Saturday, 37 degrees. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.